You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone, it's your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap for this Friday, the 21st of May 2021. Later has the New South Wales government's Dine and Discover vouchers worked. But first, let's talk rents for homes because they've increased in the year to April, but the gains have increased more in regional areas compared with capital cities. CoreLogic says regional rents rose 9.6% over the past 12 months. For capital cities, 3.3%. For more, I spoke earlier with Eliza Owen from CoreLogic. Eliza, why are regional rents outpacing that of city rents?
This is a combination of multiple factors. It comes down to the fact that less people have left regions over 2020, so we haven't seen as much rental stock freed up. A few more people have gone to the regions, so higher rental demand. And we've also seen things like the rebound in domestic tourism. So there's probably the resurgence of Airbnb accommodation tightening up the rental market. And I think as well, just property price increases. You know, as people are priced out of owner occupation in regional areas, it means that they have to rent, and it would be putting more demand on rental markets as well.
This increase, is it even across all regional areas, or are some doing better than others?
It is varied. So we analysed 25 major regional centres across Australia, and the average increase was about 9.5%, which is very large. But in some regions like the Richmond Tweed area, the Sunshine Coast, these really desirable lifestyle destinations, rents had gone up particularly by a particularly high rate, so over 15% in the year. Your more further afield regional areas had slower increases, but still outpacing wage growth.
What does this mean for locals, though, in regional areas? Are they being displaced, and are they looking or being forced to look for properties further afield from where they want to live, I guess, even in regional centres?
I think that is a trend that will emerge. I've already seen stories and anecdotes emerging of people who are in more stressful housing situations and in some extreme circumstances, even homelessness, due to the fact that rental markets in regional Australia have become very tight and risen quite substantially.
Can this growth in rental prices continue in regional areas as economies start opening up and people return to work in capital cities?
It's a mixed bag. I think generally we're probably going to see growth in the housing market slow down, whether it's regional or capital cities. Some of the very high prices we've seen both in purchases and rents will be difficult to sustain. However, it's also worth noting that property price increases have been very strong across the capital cities, and that's when we would often see more migration to regions to find more affordable property. So I'd imagine there could be more people, as restrictions have eased, looking to relatively affordable regions on their capital city incomes for housing options. So it's hard to say which way it will go.
Eliza Owen there from CoreLogic. Good news on the economy today with retail sales coming in better than expected, up 1.1% in April, 25% higher year on year. But remember, April 2020, when lockdowns came into full force and most of the shops were closed. And other good news in that set of data, there was a 2.5% increase in eating out sales. And that category has been one of the slowest to recover from the pandemic, but is now above pre-COVID levels. For more, here's Christina Clifton, Senior Economist at the Commonwealth Bank.
And the ABS reported that there was a particularly strong increase in New South Wales. And I think that's evidence that the New South Wales State Government Dine and Discover vouchers are really starting to have an impact there. We did see the Victorian government announce earlier this month that they're going to implement a similar scheme. So we are expecting to see a lift in the eating out category in Victoria as well.
Christina Clifton there from the Commonwealth Bank. And the Australian share market fell today by 0.2% to 7,030.3. Not a lot of action during the day, though. The miners declined. Most of the banks rose. Health stocks did best. Kogan, the e-commerce website, down 14%. For more on that, I spoke earlier with Fiona Clark from Merrick Capital. Fiona, the market's pretty flat today. Why?
Look, it's just been a pretty quiet end to the week. In terms of sectoral stuff, we've seen the materials and energy falling as a result of further declines in some of the key commodity prices overnight, particularly oil down another couple of percent, and iron ore also having a very volatile week and closing closing lower again overnight. So that's been the main drag on performance, while we've seen some other sectors doing well. The banks are doing okay, and healthcare also doing well as well.
I think one of the big corporate stories of the day is that profit warning from online retailer Kogue and the e-commerce company. It was one of the high flyers of 2020, but shares have fallen around 55% so far this year. So basically it's saying that demand isn't matching the levels seen last year. So what are the challenges for companies like Kogue, these successful e-commerce companies that blitzed the market in 2020, and what does it mean for investors right now?
Okay, so Kogan's a really good case study because it's the problems are a function of its success. So Kogan has grown so rapidly, it's sort of virtually doubled in the first half of the year, and as a result, it had to invest in logistics, in places to store its inventory and storage. And so that has actually posed a problem for the company as sales have stabilised. So sales are down this quarter, and again, that trend has continued this month substantially on what they were in the previous 9 months. And as a result, it's incurred a couple of things: demurrage costs, which are when it hasn't actually been able to take delivery. That's been resolved, but it's now got higher inventory costs as it stores its product. And that means it has to do other things to move that inventory. So it's got sales and promotions activity having to continue, which is increasing its marketing costs, plus sales are going down. So pressure on margins and also pressure on sales performance. Now, these things are sort of transitory. They will improve over time, and the underlying business is performing well. It's just a function of things growing rapidly and adjusting to it. Now, we're seeing that with some of the other listed online retailers who are also experiencing this growing too quickly and what that means. And further investment is therefore needed to ensure that the growth can be maintained as they go through that high phase two growth phase before things level out and be more stable, where they can actually build on that growth. So it's not that it's, it's a bad thing. It's a function of that the phases of the business cycle as the business grows, but a little bit of short-term pressure as it actually works its way through the inventory that it currently has in stock. Another thing to mention for Kogan is it's actually also seeing costs increase in terms of the products that it's ordering online. So I think in its last update, it mentioned the shortage in the silicon chips and how that was having an impact on the supply of smart TVs and other electronic goods. So we're seeing that referred to again in this update, that it's not just those inventory costs, but actually the underlying input cost of its goods. So that will put further pressure on margins going forward as well.
And finally, let's talk interest rates, because the Commonwealth Bank is hiking its fixed rates, I think, for 3 years. So are these banks preparing all of us for a period of higher interest rates, whether it be for borrowers and then the implications for the share market?
Yeah, look, it's an interesting one because it was the 3 and 4 year rates that went up today. Now, we have been seeing the 4 and 5 year rates creeping a little bit higher over recent times, but the 3 year rates and below were being kept on hold because of the term funding facility, which is where the Reserve Bank was allowing the major banks to borrow at 10 basis points, effectively free money to lend out up to 3 years. Now, that term funding facility does expire at the end of June. So I was a little surprised that this has come before then. I was expecting it more to come after that date. It is, however, a sign of the times. And I think that it's natural to assume that rates will increase over time, that funding costs will increase over time as that funding facility expires. This is the first of those increases, but it's a sign that there'll be more to come. What that means to the banks is actually generally positive if they can continue to keep their margins, their net interest margins ongoing, and if, you know, home loans activity continues to remain robust. So it's not necessarily a short-term impact on the share price, but it is something for consumers and homeowners and borrowers to be aware of, that the pressure, the movements are generally going to be up from here.
Fiona Clark there from Merricks Capital. You can follow me at Business Ricardo on Twitter and Instagram.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.